beware. Contains very offensive language right from the start and throughout, and adult themes.
Previously on Dubious Intent.
So I called up Cox paraphernalia provider that someone tried to get Cox not serviceable by Cox. Yeah. Dun 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 or whatever.
Daniel Brewer.
Oh, he a big old bottom.
Adam Burns. Yeah. Does it burn down there, Adam?
Ooh. Anyway.
Fucking hot, man.
So I'm about to hyperventilate. No. Dan, I've got to have good. Damn it.
Yeah.
Maybe we can service you now. I'm not sure.
You know, I need to be serviced by Cox.
Yes, exactly. I said, I need to be serviced by Cox.
What I need is some Cox service. I need some Cox service. I can't have Cox service. I desperately need some Cox service. BJ's Cox service.
Cox service is much faster. You know, anybody in the area just
drilling into the walls. Or
Cox, it's fine.
They have to come out and what? View your Cox?
We have to make sure you're serviceable. Well, they have to find out if their line is long enough to reach my unit. They might have to trench a line.
Bring me home.
Oops. Hey, Sassy. Oh, my God.
Tuffy?
Oh, my God.
What are you doing here?
Oh, jerking off to Adam and Daniel on Dubious Intent? Oh, there ought to be a law.
I'll dry up and blow away.
Oh, my God. I'm so disappointed.
Shut.
From the Valacial Pride 48 Studios, high atop the universe, it's time for Dubious Intent to come screaming at you through Tay Interwebs. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever the time of day it is where you are, we're glad you've joined us today. Dubious Intent is brought to you by the Logitech K830 Illuminated Living Room Keyboard. By making typing easier, even in the dark, this illuminated keyboard ensures your TV entertainment is fun and hassle-free. Check them out at Logitech.com, and don't forget to use the special listener checkout code DI for an illuminated discount. Welcome to Dubious Intent. I am Daniel Brewer, and I am joined from the K830 Illuminated Living Room Keyboard Free State of Arkansas by the one and only Mr. Adam Burns. Hello, Adam.
Hello, Daniel. I'm trying to load something here on my phone, and it's not loading.
Yeah.
Loading.
Is your phone on the Wi-Fi, Adam? Do you have the correct Wi-Fi password?
My phone is on the Wi-Fi. Yeah, it is.
By the way, what is your Wi-Fi password? Like, if somebody were in Arkansas and needed to use the Wi-Fi, I think as a courtesy to our listeners, maybe you should just tell us, go ahead and tell us what your Wi-Fi password is so that we, you know, if we were there.
I think that's... The whole point of a password, Daniel, I'm not sure if you're aware, but the whole point of a password is that you use it to keep people from getting into
your... Yeah, but we're talking about Wi-Fi. You know, here, ladies and gentlemen, if you're in the central Connecticut area and you need Wi-Fi and you happen to be in Hamden, Connecticut, whatever, my password for my Wi-Fi is platypus of action, all lowercase, which makes it very mobile friendly because I hate it when you have to shift to do your password on mobile. I just prefer hitting it with a much longer lowercase password. I'm glad that I could entertain you there, Adam. I'm doing great. Thank you for asking.
This is kind of a behind the scenes sort of look, but now I feel like I'm talking in too produced of a nature here. And I'm thinking, okay, how do I make my voice sound less but I don't think I can do it. I think I'm going to sound... We are the best produced podcast nominees on the podcast awards, Daniel.
No, let's not talk about the fucking podcast awards.
We have to keep up our, our production values.
No, we don't. I was going to, Adam, it is 9:25 on a Sunday evening. And that can, of course, mean only one thing. We are streaming live on Pride48.com in front of the world's most amazing chat room. Adam, who is joining us in the chat room this evening?
Not very many, Daniel. Not very many at all.
It is summer, so.
But we do have Lawn Gnome Mags, Parker, Toppy Smelly, who will be leaving shortly. He will say his bed is calling to him, and then he will leave. We have RT Cruza, and we have Terpt, who always reminds me of Turnip Head.
Or Terpster. Remember Terpster?
Yes. From the tech, I listened to a show with him on it.
He was friends with people that knew about technology, and he kept getting invited on their tech shows, and he used to always piss me off because he's just like, you don't know anything about technology. It's kind of like the Daily Tech News show when they have Lamar Wilson on there, and I feel like the only reason they have him on there is because they want someone who's not a Caucasian. And it's just like, but he's so... He doesn't know about tech. He's like, he doesn't follow tech. He's like horrible. He's just like, why have him on your show?
Well, I don't know. He's some YouTube person.
No, I know who he is. But my point is that this is my one complaint against the Daily Tech News show, which is Tom Merritt's show, is the sound quality. It's like he will go like he has different, you know, guests on every day. Like they're kind of set by the days of the week. And most of them are fine. But like on Fridays when he has Darren Kitchen on, Darren is talking through his you know, his webcam microphone or something. And I can't hear it in the car. It sounds horrible. It sounds amateurish and it sounds horrible. It's like, why would I care about someone's thoughts on technology that isn't technically savvy enough to use a microphone? You know what I'm saying? It's just like, if you're not a geek, if you're not a tech guy, then I really don't care what your opinion is on the latest tech news, right? It's like, I'm a tech person. So it's like, if you're more techie than me, then I want to know. But if you're less techie than me, then it's like, it's not like your opinion is going to carry much weight with me. Does that make any sense? Sure it does.
I can see that. I can see that. But yeah, anyway, we've had that discussion before. Just if you like it, you like it. If you don't, you don't. If you don't like the bad audio, you should just...
Well, I know. It's just sad, though. It makes me sad because I know that Darren has a microphone. Like, if you watch the video, he has an actual microphone. He does his own show called Hack 5, right? He has a microphone in front of him. I just don't think either one of them realize, because Darren can't hear it. But I don't think Tom...
He doesn't.
I don't think Tom Merritt has a very good ear, because all he has to do is like, hey, by the way, you're pulling your mic from the wrong source, right? He's like, I don't think Tom can hear it.
Maybe. Well, Darren Kitchen is one of the most techie people that we listen to.
I know, but my point is like, then why is he talking through his, I get what it is no one has told him that it's not switched over. Anyway, maybe I should just tweet him, because I'm sure he would listen to me. Wow, we are just so off the fucking grounds.
That's you. No, you are all over the place.
We're just like, it was your topic. The fucking road there.
You know, Daniel, what we could do is give them reviews of mice, because before the show, we were having a lovely discussion on which Bluetooth mouse to use, because I have a really sexy mouse here.
Yeah.
It's really sexy. I don't know the model, but it is a Logitech Bluetooth mouse. And I can't, I feel like an old man, but I cannot read this small writing.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure the model number is there, but I can't read it. And it's in all black, and I don't have, the lighting here is not... I just say this, that
there is no discussion, anyway, right? If you want a really good, reliable Bluetooth mouse, it's the Logitech MX. I mean, it's the Logitech M510. That's it. That's now, the only answer. That's the answer.
That is not a sexy mouse. Looking at it on Amazon. It looks like a 1985 mouse.
It feels good. It works well. It is. Now, if you want a travel mouse, that is the only time that I veer away. It's the only time that I veer away from Logitech is I use the Microsoft ArcTouch mouse as a travel mouse, because it flattens out. You've seen it when you've traveled.
Yes, I have seen that. Does it keep the connection? But that one, you have to like do some weird swipey stuff with your fingers or something, don't you?
No, it's just, it's flat. When it's flat, it's off. And then when you set it down, it's got little hinges in it and it makes a curve. It's the Microsoft ArcTouch mouse. It is fine. It's great. It's as far as, you know, one that will fit in your laptop bag and take up no space. It's a Bluetooth mouse. It'll fit in your it's like, it's great. It's a good travel mouse. I don't like using it as my primary mouse because it doesn't actually have a scroll wheel. It has kind of a fake scroll wheel.
All right, everyone. Join us next week when we review Weed Whackers. Yes, we will be reviewing Weed Whackers next week.
You just let things get to you. That's what it is, Adam. You let things get under your skin. Let's listen to who this is. Hello. Oh, I have to hit play.
Oh, my goodness. John Cena, WWE, dead. I can't believe it. I mean, the pastor of my church just posted it on Facebook. He's like 80-something, so I can't imagine why he's following WWE. But anyway... Dead, John Cena. This is Scotty, little Aussie Butler. Bye. Thanks.
The two things there. Number one, had it been Mags, we would have, of course, given it to you. But number two, he's not dead. So, sorry. John Cena is very much alive.
Yeah. No, he's not dead. But
thanks.
Yeah. Thanks for calling. We always appreciate your calls.
For those of you who may be new to the show over the and since the last time we explained this, we have a little ongoing contest that happens all year long. It's called the Celebrity Death Phone. If someone famous dies and you yourself did not do it, if you were not the murderer yourself, because that would be unfair, then if you're the first person to call our voicemail number, 229-234-7587, then and report that celebrity death, then you get entered into our drawing for the end of the year, and we increase the value of the pot by $2. So I just wanted to say, you know, that's called the Celebrity Death Phone. There you go. What, why do you have a confused look on your face that is totally distracting? What?
Don't look at my face. Nothing. Keep going.
I was done with it. That is there. Now you know we have the Celebrity Death Phone. There, the more you know. Da, 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 da. Do I have that? I thought I had that. There it is. Oh.
So, Daniel, what have you done since the last time
Jesus
we spoke?
Christ. You, all right, here's, let me just tell you something behind the scenes. We start our show on Sunday nights. I typically jump on the stream around 8:15. I use it as my Sunday evening catching up on YouTube stuff. So I play my YouTube things in my queue that I've been listening to, and I make stupid comments about them. Maybe there's like one or two people that will be listening to that or whatever. It's not important. At around, 8:45, Adam joins in. Right. And we kind of, do our little pre-show like, hey, how you doing? And we have some chit chat and we talk about the Trello and stuff like that. And then we go, oh, fuck, it's 9:00. And then we start like collecting titles and stuff. And so that's why it's always 9:25 or whatever, because we're just really bad. We ramble. So here's the thing. Joe Batance texts us during that point. He's going, oh, my God, this is so much better than your show. This little thing right now. And he is so rattled at him that he is completely... he's just like out of his game. He's off his game tonight, ladies and gentlemen. He looks very concerned.
I tell you, you're wrong. I mean, it probably did rattle me, but you're totally wrong. And I didn't want to tell you because you'll say something, but my computer stopped responding. I can hear you, but like, I'm trying to click and like open different windows and they're not opening.
Okay, great. And is
so I was like, anyway, so that's why I had a look on my face. So there you go. That is why I had a look on my face.
Okay, great. Nice save. Is that the computer that's recording you?
No, it's not the recording computer. It is not.
People might not be able to experience this podcasting gold right now.
The computer that records me is the oldest computer in the house, and it has managed to keep running. No matter what. But all it will do is record it. Like, if you try to do anything else on it, it's like, no, I'm the recording computer. I don't do anything else.
Hello, I'm the recording computer. I can just see like a little kid show, and it was like, it's the recording computer. Hi, kids. Hi, Mr. Recording Computer. I don't know why our voices are exactly like yours. I'm sorry, what did you say? Oh, wait, hold on. I remember now. You asked me a question. Hello.
Hey guys, it's your number one fan, Adam Burns. I don't know if it counts, but since I'm the one who decides if it counts, then I guess maybe I'm going to say it counts. Because no one else called in for this, and this person died a week ago. So, this is a call for the Celebrity Death Phone. Noelle Neal, who was 95, she is the first Lois Lane on both the movies and the television show for Superman that starred George Reeves, I believe it was. But anyway, she was the very first Lois Lane. She later played Lois Lane's mother in some of the movies, and then went on to play, I think, Lex Luthor's wife in Superman Returns. But anyway, she died on July 5th. At the age of 95. And I hope I'm the first caller. Take that, RT Cruza.
Oh, wow. There you go, yeah. Adam. What do you say, Noelle Neal? Do you say yes or no on that?
I say yes, of course.
Well, congratulations, Adam. I don't believe you've ever called before. But congratulations, you were entered into the contest. And of course, if we draw your name, we will draw someone else's name. Because you're not allowed to win the damn contest, Adam.
That's true. I was thinking, well, I could donate it to Pride 48 or, we could do something. But no one called for her. So I felt like Lois Lane deserved a call.
Lois Lane.
Yeah, Lois Lane.
Adam.
The original.
Go ahead.
Although when I think of Lois Lane, I think of that The other one.
Right.
The
one that starred with Christopher Reeves, the one that you've heard, the chain smoking one. What's her name?
Is it Margot Kidder?
Yeah, Margot Kidder. That sounds right.
Yeah, that's who I think of when I think of Lois Lane. But anyway, that she was the first Lois Lane. So,
Adam, so I did this thing this week. There you go. Toppy Smelly has confirmed in the chat room that it's Margot Kidder, and he spelled it in a way that I'm sure is correct because Toppy Smelly is an impeccable smeller of words.
Yes, he is.
By the way, thank you to Toppy Smelly for doing the previously on this evening.
Yes, thank you.
If you were on our live show last week, if you were in the chat room, or if you heard the live stream last week, you know that that is a repeat, and that is because due to an editing error, the previously part was cut out of the final product.
Let's just say it was my fault.
I wasn't going to throw you under the bus.
I don't know what I was sitting here editing, and I just browsed back to the beginning of the theme song and just I don't know. I was editing some other program like Geeky Gay or something like that where I start with the theme song.
That is a lie. That is a lie because there has not been an episode of Geeky Gay in a very long time. Well, oh, and by the way, don't think I didn't notice that you posted your first episode of your Hawaii trip moments before I went on the stream this evening, which by the way, I've played it on the stream. I've already seen the video. I've already liked it. And unlike Paul Armstrong, you haven't gone and liked my tweet that said that I liked it. See, Armstrong is really good at customer retention because if you like one of his videos on Twitter, then he immediately goes and he likes that tweet. So then you get a little notification going like, "Aw, Paul Armstrong acknowledged the fact that you liked his video."
Well, you know, it's not all about a comparison between Paul Armstrong and I.
Oh, do I have to pull the clip from the show where you're just like, previously on Dubious Intent, my goal is to have as many subscribers as Paul Armstrong. Actually, more. I can do more than him.
Yeah, and then I was like, it's too much work. Whatever. He can have his three measly subscribers or how many ever he has. It doesn't matter. It's not a thing. You know, this is all a hobby. I don't make my money at this. Whatever.
Wait, this is completely out of nowhere, but I just wanted to give a shout out to a YouTube channel that I watch all the time. They're a bunch of they're not twinks, they're like in their mid-20s, but they're people that work for theme parks down in Orlando, and they do they go to the parks and I got to see them go on the Frozen Ever After ride, and you know, like, they show the new stuff that's happening. It's just a bunch of 20 somethings that are nice, and they like chat with each other and whatever. Anyway, it's called the Friendship Files, and they only have like 50 subscribers or something, and they do these videos like twice a week. It's just like, they're really good. So if you like watching that kind of thing, go check them out on YouTube, the Friendship Files. And subscribe to them. Give them some love. I don't know. I don't know if they're gay or not. I think one of them is because he's just too Nelly to not be. But I don't know about the rest of them. So
most people who subscribe to YouTubers are really looking for twinks. So if they're a little bit above the twink age, then that's probably why they've only got 50.
No, it's not that. It's just they really suck at the whole, the game. They suck at the
game. I liked your tweet, by the way. I liked your tweet. So
look at that.
By the way,
my future ex-husband, hashtag Tyler H, has joined us in the chat room. Although, hold on. I don't know.
What?
I it could be Batan's playing a joke. Let's see. Well, I know he likes to do that.
It could be.
Yeah,
but,
actually, it is. It is Batan's. So nice try, Batan's. Unless Tyler has moved to Southern California and is coming in from an IP address out there, then yes. Thank you, Joe Batan's. Go ahead, Adam.
What did you do this weekend? I totally forgot what I was going to say. So well, let's move on to the truck because we haven't even gotten to any of the topics. So let's move right along.
No, so I went. Have you ever been to one of these gay campgrounds before, Adam?
I have not. There was a time in my life when I would have, and I am not saying that gay campgrounds are brothels or dens of
Dear
iniquity
God,
or anything
it was a
like
simple
that.
Question. I wasn't asking I'm, for I'm, your dissertation look, on the horrors I'm, of gay camping.
I'm not saying that, but there was a time in my life where I would have gone to places like that. And I my current relationship, my boyfriend is fairly conservative. And so these clothing optional, places. Well, that's not true. We did go to a nude beach while we were in Hawaii. But anyway, no, short answer is, Daniel, I have not.
Okay, thank God. Thank God for the short answer. We'll just, let's just keep it down to that. So I hadn't either. I had never been to a gay campground before. And I see that.
I can't imagine you camping.
Adam, I was a Boy Scout. I was trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. My troop five from Plant City, Florida, which if you know anything about the Boy Scout of America, the lower the troop number, the longer it has been established. Like troop five is a very, very old troop. I believe they're numbered differently by states, so don't get upset. I'm not saying they're one of the original five. It was just in the state of Florida. They were troop five was very early on.
Well, let's be real, Daniel. Any troop that you were a part, it was long enough ago. I'm surprised Boy Scouts was even around yet.
Actually, no, our Scoutmaster, Lord Baden Powell himself. The thing was, Adam, is that our Scoutmaster was this. He hated jamborees and camporees and all that shit. He hated that stuff. His thing was, you need to hike and camp, right? So it's like none of this bullshit, like 8-person tents that weigh 10 pounds or whatever. Like everything that we took in, we had to hike in with everything on our back and then set it up. So we had like the ultralight little 2-people pup tents, kind of a thing with the cooking stoves and everything. So I actually hiked the Resurrection Trail in Alaska. I camped a lot as a child.
Your Boy Scout troop went to Alaska for one of their outings?
Yeah, we usually went on our summer trip. We went on like a 4-week trip every summer or 6-week trip every summer.
So you were in the Boy Scout group with all the other rich children in the neighborhood. That's the one that you were. It was all the doctor's children.
We bought an old school bus, and it was the scout bus, which was we had like taken out the back 4 rows.
And
so
you drove
all of our
to Alaska?
Yeah. Well, of course we camped along the way. So we drove up through the it was a 6-week trip. We drove up through the Appalachians. We camped up in there, and then we drove through Colorado and camped there, and we drove up, up to.
Gosh. Your parents really wanted to get rid of you during the summer. They're like,
whatever.
Go on this 6-week trip, Daniel. Or
oh
Danny.
My
That's
God.
What they called
you,
right?
People are, all right. So this is totally not the point. The point is that I had never been to a gay campground before, and I wanted to go. And their websites make it so complicated because it's like they assume you know everything ahead of time. So it's like, I tried to reserve a spot for, 2 weeks from now. It's like, so you put in the date, you put in the days, and it's like, what do you have? It's like, okay, I'll just take a tent spot or whatever. No, there's none of those available because they're all booked up, right? But you can go into overflow, but I don't know what overflow is. Anyway, the point is, it was all too intimidating to try and do because I just couldn't find any, So I figured, I'm going to do? I'm going to find a hotel near there because there's like 3 gay campgrounds in Pennsylvania, which is about 3.5 hours away from me. So it's like, I'll just find a hotel near one of them and stay in the hotel and then do a day pass. I'll spend all day, at the campground and whatever up until 2 a.m., which is when the day pass expires. And then I'll just go back to the hotel. So I'm not driving 3.5 hours all the way back to Connecticut, right? I'm just driving, 20 minutes to a hotel and then spending the night and then driving back the next day. So just to kind of get an idea of it. Now in the chat room, Cap Toppy Smelly is saying that he used to go to Camp Oneida, which is one of the 3 in Pennsylvania. There are 3 in Pennsylvania. There's the Woods, Camp Oneida, and Hillside. The one that I went to was the Woods. And so I went to I didn't know what to expect. The theme last night was Christmas in July.
So, yeah, I read that on their website. So apparently you're supposed to decorate your campsite.
Right now, I didn't have a campsite, so I didn't have to worry about that.
Did you wear an ugly Christmas sweater? Perhaps?
I did not. Not a lot of people dressed up for the thing. So it was like, there's things that I didn't know about these campgrounds, right? Because, I've never been there, right? So it's like, I didn't know that they didn't, like they said on the things, we have the big dance party at the club, starting at 10 o'clock, and we have the bonfire, and we have, a foam party and stuff like that. So I assumed that there was like a club there, like a dance club there, which there is, but I assumed that they sold drinks there because I've never been to a dance club that didn't sell drinks. Well, they don't have a liquor license, so they don't sell drinks there, which is one of those things you're supposed to bring your own drinks for your campsite, which I didn't know.
I'm sure you brought something. Maybe it wasn't alcohol, but
I might have brought some brownies, but the point is that, they were too young and they were like, you bring them back when they're Girl Scouts. That's a really obscure joke. The thing is that I went there not knowing. So, but I found there's a loophole, Adam. You can buy a souvenir cup for $6.50, and it comes with a free pitcher of beer.
Oh,
so
okay.
They're not selling you the beer. Okay. They're giving you the beer. You know, you get the cup. So it's like, so I did that. So I tried the beer and everything. And it's like, so what happened is like, there was a, it's like kind of a mixture, like the center part of the camp are all the people that have their tents and maybe the people that came in with their RVs. And then there's other sections of the camp where there's like people that live there like all season long. Like they have like these really elaborate trailers that have, you know, like gas things, like, you know, like almost permanent trailers, you know what I'm saying? Cause I mean, there's electricity.
Like an RV.
No, beyond an RV, like, you know, like a, like you would find in a trailer park, like a big trailer, like a live in, you know, like a, with a huge deck with hot tubs outside of it. And, you know, it's cause they all have electricity and cable and sewer and everything. So anyway, the point is that, it's just like this huge, so they had all these Christmas lights out. They had all their little decorations. They did a drag show. That was very interesting. And the place is very pretty. It's got a huge, it's in the Pennsylvania Hills. It's got a huge lake, you know, that one side of the camp that you can hike around. And there's a little dock that goes out. And I think there's a canoe and some, I don't know, that's probably someone's canoe. But the, it is pretty, it's very pretty. And so I went there just kind of experience. It was very nice, Adam. I had a great time being there for the evening.
So, were there naked people running around, or is
it not
really?
You know what, there's as many naked people as I would see at, like, let's say, like, like at the leather party that I go to every month or whatever. I mean, yeah, there's people that walk around naked, but they're not the majority. The majority of people are there in shorts and tank tops, and because it's the summer and it's, you know, it's hot out. Or they're shirtless and in shorts or whatever. And, you know, there's a big pool and everything. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, there's naked people there, but it's not, you don't have to be naked. And it's not the majority of the people are not naked.
So were the naked people the ones you didn't want to be naked, or were they the ones that you wanted to be naked?
Kind of a mix.
That's always the question.
No, it's kind of a mix. I would say that, you know, like 50-50. And they had a couple of places that you could, let's face it, it's a big private campground, right? So it's like, you know, I mean, nudity and things happen in the woods and blah, blah, blah. Right. So it's like, you know, there's like this one, I don't want to call it like a shed because it's way too big to be a shed, but it's like this big building that has nothing in it that, you know, it's dark and people go in there and stuff happens in there. And then there's the trails around the lake that, you know, stuff happens on the trails at night or whatever around the lake. I mean, I'm sure that there were people hooking up in their tents and their RVs and stuff like that. I didn't, you know, I was only there for one night. So it's like, anyway, but it was quite fun. I don't know that I want to go for an entire weekend though. Cause I was thinking about that on the way home. I was like, you know, yeah, it sucks to have to leave at 1 o'clock in the morning or 1:30 in the morning and drive, you know, back to the hotel or whatever. It would be so much nicer just to fall asleep there. Right. But at the same, it's like, what would I do? Like, if I came in on a Friday and I stayed, you know, I had the Friday night and it's like, I had my fun Friday night and everything. It's like, then Saturday, between like Saturday morning when I woke up and Saturday evening when things started to get going again, what the fuck would I do? There's no internet. There's, you know, it's like there's limited electricity and stuff. It's like, I understand like going camping with your friends or whatever, but it's like just being there by yourself. It's like, it would be so boring to be there.
Well, yeah, because I mean, the kind of things that when you like to, first of all, I want to comment on Toppy Smelly's comment in the chat room that, oh God, I've heard people say this a million times. It's always the wrong people who take their clothes off. Ugh. Toppy, it's not, now in this case, it was about men, but come on now. I've been to plenty of nude beaches and they have a little tiny little section that's like the gay section, right? But you walk by and the biggest women with their boobs hanging down to their ankles, you know, and everything, and they're naked. And then you get to the gay section with the men that you want to see naked, and they're wearing bathing suits. So, you know, it doesn't have to mean that I'm talking about
hey
ugly
guys,
men.
Hey, this is Mags from the Celebrity Death Phone, and please forgive me. This is a weird name. Tom Erdely. Erdely. Yes, I swear, but that is a weird name. A.K.A. Tommy Ramone.
Oh, did you say that?
The founding drummer died last night and was the last surviving original member of the Ramones. Died at 65, so. Sad to see that. But wow, so they're still going apparently. Last surviving original.
Well, not now.
They were still going. End of an era things. I'm sorry about the cursing, but that name is weird.
Yes, because we hate cursing.
We're a very chaste show.
And chaste is probably even the wrong word to use. You don't have to play the next one from RT Cruiser there, but the next one after that you should play before we make a decision.
So I have to play this.
Yeah, just ignore that last call. He died 2 years ago. Stupid Facebook and these stupid memories of things popping up. Okay, bye.
Yeah.
Sorry, Mags.
Yeah, sorry, Mags. Tommy Ramone died.
RT Cruiser just called to say that you were wrong, basically. He's so good now that he just wants to call. He knows when people are going to, you know, call in a fake death, and he wants to set the record straight.
Now, there's a final RT Cruiser entry on the Trello that has no audio attached to it, so I don't know.
I'm having trouble with my computer, but there's a file in the folder that you're just going to have to open yourself.
Okay.
I was going to copy it over, but I couldn't.
Okay, great. So Adam, that's my thing. I don't know what I would do. I don't know what I would do all day on, like, because it's like they have pool parties and things like that. Things that I would never do. It's like,
yeah, that's what I was going to say. You don't really like any of that stuff.
Yeah. It's like, I wouldn't.
So even if you did camp when you were a kid, you're not much of an outdoorsy type person now. And your activities mostly take place at night and involve drinking.
That's not true. Like if I went camping with a bunch of friends, like if it was just like, you know, our coworkers or friends or something, like then it would be great because I'd have people to talk to during the day and that would be great. That is what I like to do. I like to hang around and talk to people, right? Eating and talking to people is like I'm really good at that, Adam. It's like I'm really good at eating and talking to people. So it's like that part of camping is great. But to be there by yourself, you know, now that becomes a dicey situation. It's like, well, there means
you can make friends.
Yeah, well, maybe, but maybe you won't, right? It's like a weekend.
Share your brownies.
A weekend is a very, now anyone, you know, you can't have drugs on staff there, on site there, Adam. So I had to take just regular brownies. I did not take any pot laced brownies.
I don't know if I believe what you're saying there. But,
my point is that I don't know. Well, I don't know, you know, to make a long story short, I went camping. I had fun. I don't know if I'm going to go back or not. I know that I saw on the Facebook page that Facebook post that I made about it that Mr. Mike from Canada said, "Oh, I'm going camping next week and everything." So if you're someone that's been to these campgrounds before or whatever, then and you want to give me some suggestions on stuff to do by yourself at a campground, something that doesn't rely on other people.
Horseshoes.
That relies on other people.
Did they have some horseshoes there? That you could toss.
I don't know. The other thing is you could probably just, I guess I could just find things in the area and just leave.
You could fish.
Oh, that sounds so fucking boring. But it's like, if there was something near there, like some museum or some like weird thing.
You could go
hunt
for bears.
There were a lot of bears there, Adam. I don't know if you know that or not. There's a lot of bears there.
Well, they all find something to do, so there must be something to do.
I know, that's what I'm saying. I'm dubious on. I had a great time. I'm just dubious on going back. And it was. You know what the weirdest, the best part of it was, Adam, is fireflies.
Oh, because you don't see those very often.
I don't see
now,
fireflies very often, and it's just like, to me, it was like, that was so nice walking around at dusk last night and the little fireflies out over the lake. It was very pretty. It was nice. You forget a lot of times how nice it smells in the wilderness. You know, like. You know, when you have like night blooming plants and like different, you know, breezes that come across and smell like the plants and whatnot. It was very nice. It was, there you go. Pennsylvania is lovely. It's so weird that the way you have to get there, I have to basically drive all the way through Connecticut and then through New York and then through New Jersey and then to Pennsylvania. So it's like I have to go across four states just to get some sex.
So would you go back for did you get sex?
Well, yeah, I got sex, but that's, you know.
Okay. Would you go back for an evening?
I don't know. I'm, you know, right now I'm fresh off of a 6 hour drive, right? 3 hours there and 3 hours back. And, let me tell you, if you're one of these people that says we don't need automatic driving cars, then you clearly don't drive anywhere. Because I was in a 29 minute backup on a road the other day because someone had been pulled over on the side of the road. It's like, literally, it's like there was just, you know, an accident on the side of the road. It wasn't blocking traffic, but it's like traffic in both directions stopped because people had to stop and look. know what I'm saying? And the slow down to look or whatever. And it's just like, and that caused like a 29 minute backup. It's like, I want my automated driving cars that don't look at that shit.
That's called an autonomous car.
Whatever, Adam. In my world, it's called an automatic driving car because okay. I come from the 50s version of the future. In the future, there'll be automatic driving cars.
So Toppy says, take a book. It's in, take a look. It's in a book.
I have audiobooks. I don't actually have books.
He says, read by the pool.
I don't do the sun. I don't do the sun.
The campground is a drop-in culture. So walk around and introduce yourself.
Go
to all the parties. Take your clothes off. At night, dance like no one's watching.
There you go. See, listen, I'm such a horrible person because Toppy, that is great. That is a great suggestion. The problem is, I don't like the sun or the pools. So it's like, I'm not going to go by the sun and pools. The drop-in culture, yeah. I mean, I did kind of walk around yesterday looking at the camp and everything, and people were very friendly. It's like they were, you know, hi, how are you? And everything. And now Parker is saying that the forest is shaded. I realize the forest is shaded. I'm talking about the pool. I like laying out by the pool. Let's see. And what was the other thing? Oh, go to all the parties. I did. I went to the parties. I didn't take my clothes off. Well, outside, I didn't take my clothes off anyway. I don't dance. I have no rhythm. So, but it was right. I had fun. I did some of that.
Well, good. Well, I'm glad you had fun, Daniel. So this week for me, I don't have much, but I did want to say a couple of things about work. Not much happened because I just want to say,
oh God,
going to Hawaii.
Yes.
This whole 5-hour time difference, I still feel like I'm not completely like back in the right time zone because I would be awake like until all hours of the morning and then not want to get up. And I just roll into work around 10 a.m. Well, so this is what happened. And I don't have a boss right now because my boss moved to another department. And so, you know, not much oversight. And while the cat's away, you know, that sort of thing. And, but so on Monday, I stayed up late Sunday night editing the show and apparently, deleting out the previous one.
I don't ever need to throw you under the bus, Adam, because you just do it to yourself. It's like,
say that at the beginning of the show or something. Anyway,
What I'm saying. So, literally the bus drove over at you at the beginning of the show. You just got up, brushed yourself off and went, hey, I'm back here. And it like backed over you.
Well, okay. So I stayed up really late and it's because I wasn't sleepy. Mark went ahead and went to bed and I was up and I was like, well, I'm not just going to go lay in the bed and not be able to go to sleep. And, you know, that's the worst thing ever. I don't know if when you have a partner or boyfriend or whatever, and they're already asleep, but you get in the bed and you can't go to sleep or you're not ready to go to sleep, but you're afraid to move. Because you don't want to wake him up. Because if he gets woken up, he can't go back to sleep.
Well, that's what couches are for. You get up and you go into the other room and lay on the couch.
So I stayed up late. Well, consequently, on Monday morning, I woke up late.
Couldn't you just go down the hall to the relaxation room right next to the dog washing room?
Oh, yeah. I could, but you know, it's... You know, the hot water is not getting all the way to that room yet.
Oh, and, I was hoping we wouldn't have to hear about your hot water woes. But go ahead. I'm sorry. Sorry. Right. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
Yeah. So I woke up. Mark has been going to work earlier because he moved to a different project and he's in a different building now. And he wants to go early enough to get good parking. And I don't know. Anyway, so he's been going earlier. So he gets up like 45 minutes earlier than he used to. So he's out the door before I would have even normally gotten up anyway. Well, he's my alarm clock normally. So Monday, I woke up when he left, but then I fell back asleep and I didn't have my alarm clock, so I woke up late. And then when I finally woke up and kind of dragged myself out of bed, I thought, well, since I'm already late, I'm going to run by and pay the rent, and I'm going to do a couple of errands, and then I'm going to go into work. Because I'm like, I don't have any meetings. So then about, I don't know, 10, 15... I'm supposed to be in work at 8.
Yeah.
About 10:15, I get a call from my former manager. And he says, and he hangs up. So I call him back and I'm like, did you call me? And he's like, yeah. He's like, you apparently, these two directors are trying to reach you because they're in a meeting room. Your second interview for your promotion is this morning. And they want to know where you are. Like, oh crap.
Did you spin it? Did you spin it? Did you show up and you're like, you know what? The reason that I didn't make it here today on time was because I was working really hard at my job, which is why I should get promoted. That's how dedicated I am. I couldn't even make it to the meeting about my promotion. That's how hard I work here at Walmart.
Well, no, I told a little bit of like, okay, but to be honest, it was not my fault because the person who set up the interview sent the invite out while I was in Hawaii and I was not. I don't have email on my personal cell phone. I didn't take my laptop with me. I was not checking work email. So this was my first day back at work and I did not know that I had a meeting. Like there was no way for me to know, but I wanted to kind of cover my bases. So I was like, well, I didn't know. I'm like, when I left last, 2 weeks ago to go to Hawaii, I didn't have a meeting. And I was like, and we've been having plumbing issues and the plumber had to come this morning.
Here we go. I knew you were going to work in the hot water somehow.
You know, I didn't, and I don't even know why I lied because I don't even have to lie. I mean, they completely, so basically I apologized to both of those directors and even one of the directors told me, he's like, I totally understand. He's like, if I was in Hawaii, I wouldn't be checking my emails either. He's like, no problem. We'll reschedule it. But I felt really bad. And I was thinking, I'm the position that I'm going to get promoted into is even more a management position. I mean, I won't be managing anyone, but it is at a leadership level. Now, I'll be at the same level as a lot of managers. I just won't have any people under. I won't be directly managing people, but I'll be at the same level, if that makes sense.
Like how many more levels do you have to go till they make you like change your last name to Walton?
Quite a few more. I don't know. I don't know at what point the levels stop. I mean, I would assume, there are, so I'm at a level that would be just a manager, or I will be when I get my promotion. And then there's a manager two, and then there's a director and a director two, and then there's a vice president.
It's like ordering at Starbucks, right? It's like, well, there's the venti and there's the,
yeah, there are a lot of different levels. There are a lot, but the level that I'll be at, there's a level that I'll be at is at the same level as a lot of the managers. But we have two different paths. You can be a manager or you can be an expert. And so my path is a technical expert and more of an architect kind of role. And I don't have direct reports, or I won't have direct reports. But anyway, so I thought, oh my gosh, but this looks bad for me. Because when you get to that manager level, they probably kind of expect that you're going to have the email coming to your personal phone. And, yes, you're going to be really like committed, So I was a little bit worried about that, but they rescheduled and I had my interview and it went well. So now I think the next step is a third interview because apparently we're trying to become Google. And now to get a promotion in QA, you have to go through three interviews.
Yeah, well, now, so, if you're going to become Google, do you have like a chef there that cooks for the free food for you at the commissary?
No, we don't have that. I mean, we have.
Well, then you're not. Then you, sir, food, then you, sir, are no Google. But I'm trying to.
But it's a new thing because we got a new director, and before we didn't have interviews for promotions. The management thought that you were at you deserved a promotion. Your manager would put your name up, and there was a committee of managers, or whatever, and they would vote or whatever they do.
This is what we like to call, Adam. This is what we like to loosely call the system. And the reason that that companies are putting in more interviews and things in place is because it becomes extremely easy, consciously or not, for people to just basically hire and put their peers up for promotion. So it's like, that's how you end up with the old boys club. That's how you end up with, all that stuff is because you may have people on staff that you don't know, that you don't like because of cultural differences, you don't like, aren't like chatty with them or whatever, that may be just as capable of doing those jobs. And so that's why you have to kind of fall back to the interview process.
Maybe so. So anyway, well, I don't know. I've never had that problem because everybody loves me and knows who I am, and it's not.
You just made my point.
Me.
Thank you.
But no, I mean, there's this whole thing in corporate culture that I think is ridiculous called visibility. And there's all this talk about visibility, and I'm doing air quotes here. And everyone's like, oh, you have to have visibility, to get. But I've always been of the opinion, if you do a really good job and you get yourself out there and you talk to people and you're helpful and all that, you are visible. Like, you don't need managers like making you visible. That's your job to, anyway, doesn't matter. I do not have that problem. Maybe I'm one of the old boys. I don't know. But I don't have that problem. The other thing from this week, let me look at the Trello because I had a couple of things.
Now you're just jumping over things. Now you're going to like you said work this week is what it says on your Trello.
Yeah. So the other thing about work is my one of my automation leads. She's the coordinator for offshore because we have offshore resources, and then we usually have one or two onshore that coordinate between offshore and us. And she's my automation lead for this contractor firm that we use. And we decided to eliminate her position. And so we had a lunch this Friday. So we all went to lunch and everything. And then I said, you know, I have a couple of meetings this afternoon, but before you leave, stop by my desk, say bye, you know, everything like that. So she comes by my desk at like 4:15 and she starts talking and, you know, saying, you know, and I was like, oh, it's going to be exciting because she already found a new project and it's in Connecticut.
Oh,
and
I was like, oh, yeah. She's moving here.
Possibly. Well, she had a couple of different options and I think the company decides for her, but her options were Connecticut, which is the one she wanted. She wants Connecticut, Denver or LA.
Oh my God. Denver would be so much better than Connecticut. Tell her that.
Well, I'll email her, but I told her it just depends on, you know, what you like. Cause I feel like Denver is going to be more unique. I feel like for Denver, for hobbies and stuff, you need to have more rugged kind of hobbies because Denver, all those people out there in Colorado are snow ski, mountain, you know, hiking,
yes,
mountain bike riding, stuff like that. I'm like, if you enjoy city life and you want to like be able to go to a Broadway show, you might want to do Connecticut because you can drive in or take a train into New York. I said the weather is probably fairly similar because it snows in both places in the winter.
It snows a lot more in Denver because they're a much higher altitude.
There's still snow in both places. Anyway, it's cold in both places. So she's kind of, you know, talking and then I didn't know how to handle this because she started to cry.
Started to cry.
Like she started to tear up. And then she's like, take care of my boys for me. Cause all the guys that she's like managing onshore for me are guys. And she's like, you know, take care of my boys for me. And I don't know the Indian culture that well. She's an Indian girl lady. And I'm at work. So I've never had someone cry like at work about exactly. I mean, this is, don't cry. I'm like, it's an adventure. I'm like, it's an adventure. You're going to love wherever you go. We'll miss you, you know, of course. And we'll keep in touch. I'm like, email me from your other address so that I'll have a permanent email address for you. I'm like, I'll keep in touch, but you're going to have fun. It's an adventure. You know, I'll make sure that
definitely don't introduce her to me. It's like, I don't want to, she sounds like too emotional.
Well, anyway, I didn't know if I should hug her because I thought, oh no, that could be like, you know, inappropriate contact. I don't want to do that.
Well, she's leaving.
But anyway, so I wasn't sure what to do, but I mean, that was just kind of a weird thing that happened. Indian from India, Parker.
Here's the thing. Thank you, Adam, for not telling people listening to the podcast that someone typed a question into the chat room and asked what languages does she speak.
Parker in the chat room asked what language.
There you go.
He actually asked.
That was not him. That was Mr. Mike, 1972.
Mr. Mike asked Dot or Feather.
Right. Mr. Mike, 1972 says people in Colorado are too stoned to be outdoorsy. Here's the thing. You know, when you're just saying all those activities in Colorado, like snow skiing and mountain biking and hiking and everything, other than the hiking. Here's the thing about Colorado. They don't actually climb the mountains to snow ski down them. They take a lift. Also, mountain biking, most of the mountain biking you see in Colorado, people take those same lifts, those same ski lifts in the summer to the top of the mountain to mountain bike down. So it's not like they're...
I know, but...
What I'm saying, if you really, really want like extreme sports, it's like mountain biking up a fucking mountain as opposed to like going down a mountain.
I know, but what I was saying is if you like the kind of activities that you can do in New York City, you might want to do Connecticut.
You can mountain bike.
If you like more outdoorsy stuff, you might want to do Denver.
Okay. All right. Fine.
That's all.
All right.
Anyway, so
if she likes gay camping, then she should absolutely not go to
Pennsylvania.
Right. She should go to Pennsylvania.
Right. Anyway, that was my week, basically.
Okay, great. That was fun. Thank you so much for that. Oh, get a phone call here. Let's listen to this, shall we? Hello.
Yeah, hi guys. I think this is for the Celebrity Death Zone. Been pretty thin on the ground this week, but anyway, Alan Baker, frontman for the band Suicide, dead at 78. Okay, bye.
I have no idea who they are. Yes or no?
Who was it again?
Alan Vega?
Sure. I don't know. I can't type anything. Again, the computer is not working. I can't Google it.
Somebody, lead singer of the Suicide something.
Yeah, that's my favorite band. Yeah, of course. That's so sad.
Suicide?
Yeah. Suicide is painless, Daniel.
I don't even know how to... who is this guy? Why do I care even? Adam, what did I say?
You said something Vega. Sony Vega? I don't know.
No, I don't care. I don't care. Give it to him. It's fine. Oh, Lamont Cranston has joined us and wants to know in the chat room, did he die by suicide? Because I think suicides don't count, right? Didn't we once make that ruling? Anyway, it doesn't matter. Congratulations, RT Cruiser. I'm so happy for you. I just can't believe how fucking happy I am for you. Hey, you know what, Adam? I wanted to talk to you just real quickly about this thought that I had the other day.
Okay.
So I'm confronted by these two things, these two different things this summer. One of them who I thought was going to be really popular that wasn't, and one of the things that I thought wasn't going to be very popular that really is. So, and I'm talking about Warcraft the movie and Pokemon Go the game. So here's the thing.
Okay.
Here's the thing. I was thinking the other day, this really all comes down to branding. That is all it is it comes down to branding. Because if the Warcraft movie had been called Orc Invasion or, Orc... monster fantasy or, humans versus alien fantasy or whatever. Had it been called anything but Warcraft, people, I feel, would have given it a lot more chances than they did. I think the fact that it was called Warcraft predisposed people to have their own feelings about World of Warcraft, which has been around for a long time and people, love it and hate it. So it's like a lot of the people, you know what I'm saying? Those people, there's like, oh, I don't understand this, so I'm just going to say negative things about it. It's like, I think that Warcraft would have done, it was not a bad movie. I think most of the criticism of it was the complexity of the characters, which I thought was really a stupid criticism of it. Because if you'd watched, Lord of the Rings had equal complexity in their character development. It's just that more people had the book that they had read behind, so they kind of knew the backstory of these things, right? It's like Lord of the Rings didn't spend an inordinate amount of time explaining to you what an elf was. I don't know why Warcraft needed to spend an inordinate amount of time explaining to you what an orc was, right? It's just like, it's not important. You just need to know that I think it was a good movie that just was suffered by the branding. And the same thing with Pokemon Go. It's basically a skin over Ingress. Now, Ingress has been around for like 4 years, and it's like, or 3 years, 3 or 4 years. And it's like, Ingress was one of those games that you'd play for a little while, but then it kind of like quickly got boring because it was like, there just was no end game to it. Like once you reached the maximum level, there was no challenge to it. And that meant that starting out as a new player, there was almost impossible to do it because there were so many high level players that, anyway, Pokemon Go has a lot of those same problems. I think if Pokemon Go had been called like Furry Insect Collector, or like, if it had been called anything else other than Pokemon, I don't think it would be nearly as popular as it is. It's like when you listen to reviews on it, people like admit it's like the game's not that great. It's like it's got a lot of bugs. The servers crash. The gameplay really isn't that great. You can buy your way to the win on it. Right. So you can just spend, money outright in game purchase wise to level up and to have a really powerful character at the gym. So it's like, so you can win all the battles. So it makes it really frustrating for people that want to like try to naturally level up to make it to the gyms and whatnot. So it's like, it's not a great game, but because it's called Pokemon Go, it's like hugely successful. So it's just like, was weird to me. It's just like, these are two things, these two diametric things. It's like, if they just had different names, they would have had entirely different fates, I believe. What say you, Adam?
I don't disagree with you. I do think that, one's a movie and one is a game. So
but my point is that it was just one of those things. Like Warcraft the movie isn't that bad. Did you see it?
I have not seen it
yet.
And
probably the reason you haven't seen it is because it's World of Warcraft. It's like, okay, yeah.
No. I want to see it. I was going to say I have not seen it, not because I don't intend to see it, but because we, for whatever reason, we are so busy. It takes us a long time to get to.
God,
wow, that's
the fuck.
I was gonna say, let's check in and see if there are any Pokemon around me.
I'm just saying, no, so do you find Pokemon Go to be an incredibly fun game?
Well, I tell you, Daniel,
You play Ingress? Did you ever play Ingress?
I did. I played Ingress, but Ingress kind of bored me a little bit. I will say this about Pokemon. I'm not an avid gamer. I never have been an avid gamer. I did at one point have a little Nintendo Game Boy or whatever, and I had a boyfriend at one time who really was into Pokemon, so we played, and I think there was even like a on that Nintendo party game where they have a bunch of different all the different characters, they have these battles, and one of them was like a Pokemon thing, and I kind of enjoyed that, where, like, you know, the different Pokemon would have different powers and whatever. Yeah. Anyway, what I will say is,
but you can do that. You just have to get up to level 5, and then you can do that.
No, I know. Gyms. So I am playing. Are you playing?
No, I'm not, because I played Ingress for so long. It's like I figured I'd just wait for it to die down before I took a look at it.
Okay. Well, it is Ingress, but it's kind of, if you liked Pokemon, it's kind of cool to have like these characters that you're familiar with, these cute little, you know, characters and whatever. And the fact that so many people are playing, like I literally, and I've been playing for a few days, and Mark is like ridiculous. He's like taking Sydney on extra walks so he can go by like Poke stops and like find different Pokemon and all this kind of stuff. But I thought I would try it out. So we're driving down the road this afternoon, going to grocery shop, and he's literally holding up his phone with Pokemon on it while he's driving.
Oh my God.
Looking for Pokestop. I'm like, you really don't drive and do this. I'm like, really, seriously, don't drive. And we're driving by various like statues, the library, a church, like pulling into the parking lot so we can like get these. The other day, the first day that I played it, I opened it up at work, and there happened to be a Pokestop and a bunch of Pokemon around at my work. I almost ran into the same manager like 3 times because I was looking at my phone. And I don't know. I'm not a gamer, but there's something about these cute little things. And I'm like, oh, I want to capture it. It's one I don't have yet, you know?
I get it.
And then today, anyway, I stopped at a gas station and I was buying some chips, and I had to wait in line because there were a bunch of people buying stuff. So I was like, oh, let's see if there are any Pokemon in here and whatever. And I get up to the counter, and the guy at the counter, he's probably in his 20s or whatever. And he's like, oh, is there anything good around here? And I was so embarrassed. Like, he knew I was playing, I guess, just by the way I was looking at my phone or something, or like swiping my finger up or whatever, because that common Pokemon. So I don't know. I mean, I'll get tired of it quickly because I'm just not a gamer. So I will. I just made it to level 5 about an hour ago, or before we started, so I can now join a team.
There you go. Now I saw that Gavin had asked. Gavin from Pocket of the Stick podcast had asked, "Is there a common team that the people on Pride 48 are joining?"
I don't know that. I was going to join the same one Mark joined because he already made it past level 5. So
there you go. Hashtag 1%er.
Another cool thing is you can take pictures of the Pokemon because it's augmented reality.
Yeah,
no, so
I mean,
when
we
you
see
actually
those,
have
yeah,
your...
even not by not playing the game, I see those on Twitter and on Facebook. I see the screenshots of people, and I get that. I'm surprised that we haven't gotten an email at work reminding us that cameras are forbidden at the hospital because of PHI concerns. Right? It's like we're specifically not allowed to take pictures at work. Right? It's like because you could in the background there could be some patient information on a wall or like on somebody's desk or something like that. So it's like, I'm surprised that we haven't gotten the, as goofy as they are with other stupid rules, I'm surprised we haven't gotten the sanctimonious email, you know, like going, I'd like to remind you that cameras are forbidden on property. And
I find it, I will say this, for whatever reason, I find it much more fun than Ingress was, probably because of the familiarity of the Pokemon characters and...
Here's my thing. I thought
everyone is playing.
Right. Well, I thought Ingress was really fun at first, right? It's like it had a good initial. And my prediction with the Pokemon thing is I think another couple of weeks, I would say by the time I get back from my Vegas trip, like second week of August, I think it's just going to be down to just like the people that are going to play it are going to be people that are going to play it, right? I mean, there's still people that play Ingress, right? There's going to be a core group of people playing this game for a long time. I thought one of the funniest things that I'd seen was that you have to understand the licensing here. So Niantic, that wrote Ingress, did Pokemon Go, and they basically just licensed the Pokemon name from Nintendo. So Nintendo gets a small percentage off of the money that they make off of the game from in-app purchases and whatever. However, Apple is actually making more money off the in-app purchases than Nintendo is, because Apple gets a flat 30% off of all in-app purchases on the App Store. So it's one of those things where it's like Apple is actually making more money off Pokemon than Nintendo is on this particular venture.
So RT Cruiser in the chat room says he's currently surrounded by bloody Zubats.
Yes.
And I'll say we have more Rattatas or whatever you call them, you know, which
frittatas?
Makes sense because it's
you have Frittatas?
Rattata. Rattata.
I don't
Rattata.
Know.
Rattata.
Now, is it a bloody Zubat or is it a Zubat and bloody is because he's from Australia?
Bloody is the Australian affectation.
So there's not. So if I go in tomorrow and say, "Oh, I just caught a bloody Zubat," like no one's gonna be like, "What the fuck is a bloody Zubat?"
Well, they'll know what a Zubat is, but the bloody part, you know, they. I have so many Rattatas or whatever you call them, Rattatas,
baby.
And I should know. I should be familiar with that because it's basically just a big mouse.
I had a thing. I almost posted a thing about Pokemon Go on Facebook when I was driving to the campground because I was driving along, you know, the backwoods of Pennsylvania or what. Well, it's not back. I was driving on the interstate and there was this Subaru car that pulled up next to me. It was during the 29-minute backup. And there's a little kid in the back seat that was wearing a Pikachu hat, you know, one of those knit hats that has a thing goes just like, and he was like, his face was right up against the window of the car. And he was like, and so I was going to take a picture of him and go like, wow, this Pokemon Go game is like really got that augmented reality down. It's like, look, Pikachu in the back seat over there.
Right.
But,
well,
you know, by the time
you go into any stores now and you see, you know, all kind of Pokemon branding in the stores because the stores are trying to take advantage of, you know.
So here's the thing, Adam, I think it'll, you know, enjoy it. It'll be fun. I don't understand. That's the thing that always amazes me. It's like, it doesn't matter what it is. There's always somebody that's got their panties in a fucking wad about it, right? It's like there's somebody on Facebook posting some sanctimonious bullshit thing about, you know, you quit talking about goddamn Pokemon Go and get off your ass or go get a job or whatever. It's just like these are completely mutually exclusive things. Like if you play Pokemon Go, then you're what, going to give up your job and like whatever. It's just like, I'm so tired of these people. And they do it a lot with the election too. This is really, I'm sorry, I'm getting up on my soapbox, Adam. Adam, I'm getting up on my soapbox.
Okay, do it.
Let me find it. Jump over here. Let me pull out the soapbox here and get the fuck up on it. It's like, for all of you, you can tell I'm serious because my voice just got higher. I just like literally went up like an octave there. It's just like, for all you latecomers to the political table, to all you people who were, you know, suddenly paying attention to politics, welcome. Welcome to the exciting, wonderful world of politics. It's fun and it's really detailed and you can spend a lot of your time reading about things and seeing all different kinds of things like that. However, a little bit of knowledge is incredibly fucking dangerous. And in this particular case, perhaps those of you who are getting overly sanctimonious about people like myself who are criticizing Hillary Clinton, maybe you might want to review exactly how presidential elections work in the United States. I know this will come to as a big shock to you. You might want to sit down. It is not actually one vote, one person for the election of the president of the United States. Now, I know this sounds crazy. But it's we elect a president on a system called the Electoral College, whereby a state will give all of their votes to a single candidate based on the outcome of that state. So for me to say that Hillary Clinton is I have Clinton fatigue. I'm sorry. I don't like the way she stands for. It's like if you listen to her speeches, she is basically giving Republican talking point speeches because the Republican candidate this year is so fucking horrible. It's like she's basically now pandering. She doesn't have to go after the actual liberals out there. She doesn't have to go for the gays or for the blacks or for minorities, whatever, because they're going to vote for her regardless. So now she's basically shifting herself to the right to try to pick up these Republicans. So it's like she's basically using Republican talking points to basically bring in, you know, a win for this presidency here. To me, I don't like Hillary. I don't like what she stands for. I do not like, I just don't care for that whole business. But me saying that does not mean that I'm going to go out and vote for Donald Trump, nor does it mean that, you know, oh, if I don't vote for president, then I'm automatically de facto giving my vote to Donald Trump. I live in fucking Connecticut. There is no, you literally could have Pikachu a fake Pokemon character, Pikachu, on the Democratic side running against, I don't know, who's a really popular person, like Colin Powell, like some really moderate Republican on the other side, Pikachu was still going to carry Connecticut. There's no fucking way that Connecticut is not going to go for the Democratic candidate. So to me, to say these things, it's like it just annoys the fuck out of me when I hear people say like, well, if you say something bad about Hillary, then you're just giving the win to Trump. It's like, fuck you. You don't understand how elections work. Read up.
Look, don't blame Hillary or Donald Trump. When in doubt, blame Pokemon Go. I mean, that is really, that's really what you got to do.
All you people with your Pokemon Go's out there.
Here's the thing. They're causing the downfall of the nation.
Here's the thing. This is the thing that blows my mind. All right. So the FBI comes out and says that Hillary did a whole bunch of bad things, right? So you'd think, oh my God, all Donald Trump has to do is just harp on this the next day. He just has to, basically, he's giving a big speech the next day. All he has to do is just basically sit there and go, Hillary's a liar. Look at what she said about, the FBI is investigating her. Look, the FBI basically said that she broke the law, but they can't really prosecute her because the laws are too weak. But that she basically, look at Hillary, crooked Hillary, she's a liar. He could pound that point home, but instead, the next day, he basically got sidetracked by this whole Star of David tweet that he made, and then like made another stupid tweet. It's like, this guy is so bad at campaigning. He is so colossally bad. It's like, I do not understand how she is so close to him in the polls. It's like, it speaks volumes about how unpopular she is that she is not pulling in 75% of the polls at this point in time, because Donald Trump is so horrible at campaigning. He's just he gave this speech the other day to introduce his vice president. It was a 30-minute speech where he talked about himself and then said, oh, by the way, here's my vice presidential candidate, and then walked off the fucking stage. He didn't even stand there with the guy. He walked off the... He sucks at campaigning. He sucks so badly at campaigning, and yet he's almost tying her. So it's just like this... If we know, if we accept the fact that he is a horrible candidate, then the only logical conclusion is that she must be really fucking disliked out there. It's like, hey, if the Republicans were running any other candidate, there would be no way that Hillary would be like, would be winning this election. I'm sorry. There you go. Thank you. I'll shut up now.
That's true, but I hope she wins, because I don't want, we keep saying, oh, there's no way Donald Trump is going to win. Well, we also said there's no way Donald Trump is going to get the nomination. And what happened?
No. The consensus was that he was going to get the nomination. Yeah. No, he tapped into it. Here's the thing. We've made our politics so incredibly, partisan at this point in time. We're just so used to this whole thing of of having two people from the opposite side screaming at each other and neither one of them making a point. Like, we've accepted this as politics as usual in this thing. So it's like, there's a small piece of me that thinks, you know what, if Donald Trump does get elected, there's no better way to reboot our fucked up system than to have someone who's completely fucked up in there, and then, people, and then it all fall apart. And then people go, oh, well, I guess we need to actually think about things now. It's like, I'm not saying I want that to happen, but it's like, there's a part of me that as a thought experiment goes, like, if we're going to actually fix our system, then we have to quit electing these completely entrenched candidates, right? We have to quit electing basically the people that are doing the exact same things all the time. We're never going to, what is the definition of idiocy is to basically just keep doing the same thing over and over again.
Insanity, I think.
It's just like,
but, yeah.
Oh my God. Now Parker in the chat room has said, have you seen the show Brain Dead? I made a comment the other day about Brain Dead. I said, it was like one of the best written new shows on television. You absolutely have to see Brain Dead. It's only like 4 episodes in right now. It's on CBS. You can watch the back shows over on cbs.com. It's written by the people that wrote The Good Wife. It's a well-written show, well worth the check out. If you like politics at all, and I'm not saying like watching the current politics, but if you just like the whole political process at all, it is a very well-written show.
Good. So were you going to talk about the podcast awards, or did you decide?
I keep going.
Not to?
I'm going to say this about the damn podcast awards, right? And it's so hard to get any information because they're basically just a black box, which in my own opinion is what makes them illegitimate to start with. But let me back up here for a second. It has been no secret that I view the People's Choice Podcast Awards to be a scam. It is basically a scam dreamt up by a man that lives in Hawaii that is basically a salesman and is a scam to get people to send him money for piece of shit trophies that have zero meaning behind them. He's a guy that 11 years ago had the brilliant thought to buy podcastawards.com domain before anyone else thought about buying it. And that's really his only qualification. He has no actual qualification of being like, you know, a podcast maven or whatever. He has a smaller audience than almost any of the nominees and any of his things. So it's not like he's like this big, you know, it's not like he's what is the guy that's on with Dvorak that is commonly considered Adam Curry. It's like, you know, at least Adam Curry, you could say, oh yeah, he's the guy that first, you know, popularized podcasting and started the first. He's like, at least he has some street cred there. Whereas like this Todd Cochran guy doesn't. But aside from all of that stuff, this is so badly managed, so badly run. It literally is. This year they made changes to where you actually have to pay to be nominated, and which is just another scam way for him to get this thing. It's like, and I don't have a problem with paying to be considered for nomination if I viewed the actual awards as being legitimate. But I don't believe that this guy carries with him any kind of, you know, cachet to be. And you could say, okay, well, that's fine. He doesn't have to, because these are just people voting, right? It's just the public that's voting. But he doesn't release those numbers. He keeps those numbers secret. It's all black box. There's no way to double check him on these things. There's no way to find out if, you know, what he's is not being counted by a third firm or anything like that. He counts the numbers and he tells you, and he doesn't tell you what the actual numbers are. He insinuates what some of the numbers are, but because of this Diamond Club thing that happened, the scandal that just, well, the so-called scandal that happened during the podcast awards, they actually have hard numbers on how many people voted using their bookmarklet every day. And it's nowhere close to the number of people that Todd Cochran is claiming have been voting in this thing. So either Todd is lying or is using a different method to count a vote, meaning that if you vote in 16 categories, he counts that as 16 votes as opposed to a single ballot. You know, or it's like there's something seriously amuck with this, because by Diamond Club's own over-generous estimates, they only had about 4,000 people a day using their tool. So you're telling me that 4,000 people a day is enough to swing the votes in all 16, you know, well, in what, 15 out of the 16 categories? Or 15,
something like that. Well, I want to make one comment just for the Pride 48 shows. So regardless of what Daniel and I may think about the actual awards, it doesn't take away from, you know, if you are a show that wanted to be nominated for that, you know, and the thing about it that makes it legitimate to you is that your listeners actually are voting. So that does tell you that you have some loyal listeners. But the other thing I wanted to say is, I hate to even bring this up, but there have been a few people that have said, you know, that Pride 48 was not supportive enough. And one thing that and maybe that may or may not be true. However, we do not, to my knowledge, have the number of listeners that the Diamond Club and Frog Pants networks
or
have.
Any network, we just for don't that matter. You have to understand that in the wide range of podcasting, as soon as you declare that you are a gay podcast, you've immediately excluded 90% of the audience, right? It's like, even by the most liberal estimates, right, if you go by the most liberal estimates that 10% of the audience is gay, 10% of the available audience is gay, it's like, straight people may be gay friendly, whatever, but they're not going to go actively seek out a gay podcast, one that calls itself, hey, I'm a gay podcast. It's like, because some people aren't sure what we're, you know, what that means, even. Oh, so is it just an entire podcast where you talk about fucking the entire time? It's like, so it's like you're already restricting yourself to a much smaller piece of the pie, which is why things like, you know, like RuPaul's Drag Race Recap does so much better than, say, Dubious Intent, because RuPaul's Drag Race Recap is based on a TV show. It's not necessarily a gay, you know, it's not listed in the category of GLBT. It's listed in the category of TV shows, right? Or like, right. So it's like, it's more likely to run across. Go ahead.
And not to say that we're not trying to bring in more listeners. I mean, but
it doesn't matter. Here's the thing. By definition, any of the Pride 48 shows are all going to be nominated in the same exact category. So no, we're never going to advocate that you vote for a particular show in that thing as a network. That would be irresponsible, because there's more than one of our shows in those particular. And even on years where there's only a single show in there, by this point in time, like there was a point in time like 5 years ago where it's like there was small amount of legitimacy to these awards. But then it pretty much just became a scam. It pretty much just became nothing. And I understand the need. I understand the want of wanting an award. And I really do wish that there was a legitimate podcast award out there. The other day I was talking to Joe Batance about this, and I was just spitballing. He started saying, well, this is what you would have to do to make a legitimate podcast award. And he started naming off particular things that you would have to do. Like, you know, instead of it being like one of these things where these people go there every single day and fucking, you know, vote and you're spamming people and just pissing people off, right? You would actually have panels of people for each category. So you'd like have a panel of judges for this category. And those judges would be known ahead of time. And it's like, and then if you wanted to submit your podcast to it, right, you would pay a fee, but you would also send in represents of, you know, here's what I want to be judged on. Like these two episodes of my show, I want to be judged on. This represents us. And then that panel would listen to those two episodes and like draw the conclusions of the judging based upon that. So you're able to submit your best work and then be judged. And more importantly, get feedback from the judges, right? So like, even if you didn't win, you would get some feedback from people that were on this panel that you, you know, were at least semi-legitimate in that particular field. And it's like, and I would back that in a heartbeat. And I would be like, I'd pay the $40 registration fee to put our show up for it and to do those things, because at least I know that it's like, you know, there was some thought given to this, as opposed to this black box process that we have right now. And it's like, to me, it's like the podcast awards died, and then this other company came in and tried to take them over last year, and then they gave up on it, and then it went back to Todd Cochran this year. It's like, let's just let the fuckers die already. It's like, I get that we need an independent podcast award out there. So it's like one that doesn't count, you know, CBS and Logo and all these broadcast networks that have tools that we will never have. Like, I understand the need to like have a separate award for independent podcasts, just like there's independent movie awards that don't consider, you know, that don't go up against the big network movies or whatever. I understand that, but that doesn't exist right now. And that's the sad part. It's just like, and it just, the podcast awards to me just cause more problems than they could possibly solve, because it pisses off listeners to get spammed every single day to like go and vote for these things. It pisses off other podcasters, because if you say, oh, I don't think the podcast awards are legitimate, then you get people that are like running for the awards mad at you because, how dare you say that I should? And it's like, you know, whatever. It's like, this is my own personal opinion. I believe that they're bullshit. And so it's just like, I understand that there should be something out there. Whatever. That being said, I'm speaking as myself. It's like Pride 48 has always been neutral on that. We don't advocate people vote for any particular show. Thank you.
There is. So you're talking about that, and we'll see what comes of it. But for the past couple of years, there is a group of folks. There's a website. It's called Academy of Podcasters.
Right. The problem there is that they include a lot of those corporate, like you would be going up against really big shows.
They include the NPR and all of that. But so did the podcast.
But I'm not trying to compare myself to that. I'm saying I understand the need for there to be an independent podcast award. I get that.
So this Academy, I know, but I just wanted to say for people who are interested, this Academy of Podcasters is at academyofpodcasters.com. And I don't know a lot about it, but they do have awards, and they do go through the judging process like you're talking about. They have judges for each category.
Yeah.
And you have to submit clips of your show of some length.
Yep.
And then they judge them and they vote.
Yep.
So then they also have a Hall of Fame as well. So I don't, there you go. So that is someone, it's done by the Podomatic folks.
Right.
Apparently.
I understand that. And that's a great start, but it's going to be dominated, you know, it's going to be dominated by the NPR shows and the CBS shows and the really big network shows, right?
Right.
When I have a huge name, right, it's like, if I'm This American Life, then me getting an interview with, you know, Martin Scorsese to talk about something is, you know, doable. Me as Dubious Intent, me getting an interview with like Harvey Fierstein is like so outside of the norm, right? It's just like, there's no mechanism in place for an independent podcast to get really big award, you know, really good, really big interviews, or to get really exclusive things like that. So you kind of have to have the audience and the cachet to get that ahead of time, which, you know, then belies the point of being an independent podcast. So,
but I personally love all the Pride 48 shows, and I think
fuck you. I never once said I didn't like the shows. Bullshit that is like, that's bullshit, Adam. It's like trying to like make it sound like I'm like saying that the shows are horrible or whatever.
No, you're not. I did not say that.
You said that. Being said, I love all of the Pride 48 shows.
I love all of them. I do.
Right. They're and so the implication children. Is that I don't. Whatever.
No, it's not. That is not.
I'm so glad you helped me get to the fiesta today. Do you know why today is such a special fiesta?
Why, Dora?
It's a birthday fiesta! Yeah! So let's all sing happy birthday in English and Spanish. Ready?
Doobie's Intent Birthday Segment, the segment of the show where I sing and my cat stands up and starts hitting the microphone. Because that's what she likes to do. The segment of the show where Adam will play a musical cue to somebody's birthday and I, using only my head, brain, and mouth words, will figure out whose birthday it is without cheating and looking in the chat room. And this evening, you guys are in for a special treat. This evening, Adam is playing the sounds off of a speak and spell that he has hot-wired into his mixer. Because even though he is hashtag 1%, he can't afford the $300 to go buy a laptop. Yes, go ahead, Adam. What is our first musical cue this evening?
It's a cell phone, and I need to buy I have a laptop. I just need to buy a cord. Remember? I'm playing it.
Here's the thing. I know I've watched this show. I know I binge watched this show because it's like, is this the one with Meryl Streep?
No.
No, wait, what's her name? It's not Meryl Streep. It's Glenn Close. Is it the one with Glenn Close?
No. No. Oh. There was a radio show that used this as a theme song for a long time, and I didn't realize what it was at that point. So, but no, it's a really famous TV show.
I know.
Like really
I know,
famous.
And I'm telling you, I watched this because I remember hearing this stupid, is it Scandal or something like that?
No.
Then I don't know. You're going to tell me and I'll be like, oh, yeah, I knew that.
Well, I'm gonna play another audio clue here. And then I'll tell you what the show is. So here we go.
Oh, this is the theme to Nurse Jackie.
I'm so surprised you knew this theme, but not the one before it.
Now, like I tell you, I swear to God, Adam, I'm not looking in the chat room because I'm sure people are shouting it. I know I've binge-watched a show that had that as a theme. I just cannot think of what it is. But Nurse Jackie, I do know, because I didn't binge-watch that. I watched that. But that one, I'm going to say, so is it the star of Nurse Jackie? What's her name? It's the star. It's the lady. It's Jackie. It's Nurse Jackie. I don't remember her name.
It is Nurse Jackie.
What's her name?
Her name is Edie Falco.
Edie Falco.
Yeah.
Fine. What was the first theme?
The theme song that you didn't know is The Sopranos.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I did binge watch that. So, yeah, that makes sense that it would be. Because I was like, I know this. But it was around the same time I was watching that Glenn Close show. What was that one?
Damages,
yeah. And I know that they had a weird theme song. All right, never mind. All right, I'm now 0-1. Go ahead, Adam.
Yeah, Edie Falco. Well, I mean, you knew kind of, but.
This is the theme to Star Trek II, The Search for Spock. No, Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, I believe.
Oh, my God.
No, this is, of course, the theme to Star Wars. Yes,
it is the theme to Star Wars and Star. These are always difficult.
I know because there's like Steven Spielberg and George Lucas, and then there's all the stars of the show, and then there's the people that wrote the music for the. It's like so. Where are we going here? Yeah. What's my next clue?
Here's another one.
This is the theme to Indiana Jones. So
it is.
Now we're still back down to Steven Spielberg and Lucas and Harrison Ford, right? So it's like
and John Williams.
And John Williams. It's like yeah. So this is not helping me at all.
I'm gonna give you a little clue because I don't really have any. All of these people are always do things in the same movie.
Yes,
they just always do.
Yes,
it's an actor.
Well, then it's got to be Harrison Ford.
It is Harrison Ford. Yes. Yeah, because I don't know anything with Harrison Ford that you wouldn't get confused with one of those other people as well.
Really?
So,
Air Force One?
Oh, that's true. But, I mean, would you know the theme song to Air Force One?
No, but you could have played a theme, could have played a speech from it. I'm the president, goddammit. run your security protocols and put me through to the right place.
Yeah, sure. Here's the next one.
This this is the theme to The Empire Strikes Back, better known as Star right. Trek The Next Generation.
This is the Boston Pops. They're so good.
They are.
I want to go hear a concert of the Boston Pops sometime.
Here's the thing. I am so worried about the Star Trek convention that I'm going to. I'm so worried because in my mind, the Deep Space Nine theme and the Voyager theme start off so similarly. It's like I always kind of conflate them. I'm just so scared that I'm going to be at the Star Trek convention. I'm going to be like, oh, Deep Space Nine. I mean, Voyager. It's like I'm going to get something wrong and just make a big...
Someone's going to come up to you and like grill you.
I know. They're
going to
take... They'll take... You don't understand that. These are super fans, Adam. I will lose my cred, my street cred. Oh,
here's the next song.
Okay.
That's why you've been binging. You like...
That's right. I'm trying to finish it.
Good morning. Before we start, I want to be absolutely clear about one thing. We are here to serve the British people.
Okay.
Not the whims of some European...
I don't know what movie this is from, but that is Patrick Stewart. We are a proud... It sounded to me like... I was. The reason I paused so long is I was like, wait, is this from X-Men? But it didn't sound like from X-Men. So no. This is... is it Patrick Stewart's birthday?
It is Patrick Stewart. This is some sketch he did for some British thing.
Oh, okay.
It's more recent. It's not a movie. It's like a comedy sketch that he was in.
Got it.
By the way, I didn't say this. Edie Falco is 53. Harrison Ford is 74. Patrick Stewart is 76.
Right. And Harrison Ford's dead.
Harrison Ford is not dead.
He got killed by his son. He got thrown off that bridge.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Spoiler alert. All right. Here is our next one.
Is this Glee?
It is.
It's the theme to Glee? Okay, yes.
It is, yes, it's Glee.
That's a big tall order. There's a lot of people in Glee.
Yes. So here is the next one, because of course you need more than one for that.
Yes.
And this is gonna be a trailer.
I'm so sorry. Look what the clumsy mighty did.
No worries, accidents happen.
Well, that's a sweet thing to say. I'll bet you're a very sweet person, Dr.
Oh,
Ross.
My God. This is from that horrible show, Touched Like Angel or the Devil of an Angel or whatever. What was the fuck was that show called?
It was Angel from Hell.
Oh, my God. Horrible show. Jane Lynch. Is it Jane Lynch?
It is Jane Lynch. Yeah.
I tell you, Jane Lynch is one of those people is like you... She kind of does the same shtick all the time, and there's situations where it works really well, and there's other situations where it just doesn't work. It's like in an ensemble class, her little shtick works, but carrying an entire show, that Angel from Hell was like television show from hell. It was horrible.
Well, it was canceled.
Yeah. All
right, here is our next one.
How do you feel? Is it Bob Dylan?
No, this is a theme. I don't know, but this is a theme to a TV show.
Oh, I have no idea.
Okay.
It's probably uh-oh.
No, YouTube likes to autoplay things. So I was trying to stop.
You can turn that off.
All right, yes. We have one more. So I'll tell you, if you can't get it, I'll tell you what show that was.
Okay. So completely clueless, no idea.
Okay, this is kind of a hard one. This is kind of a hard one. So the first show is Spin City.
Oh wow, I didn't know that was the. I used to watch that show.
And the second show is Once Upon a Time.
Oh, so somebody was in Spin City and Once Upon a Time. Now I remember Spin City. Spin City was the Michael J. Fox vehicle, right? Or he was a political...
Yeah, I believe so, yes.
So who was in that show that was also in Once Upon a Time? I'm not going to get this because I stopped watching Once Upon a Time, like second season. Because, you know, when you're dealing with fairy tale characters or whatever, it's like, you know, they apparently went too far at some point. I was like, oh, no. Oh, I was with you until that point, but nope, not going to go there.
They have gone kind of far afield. They've
Mulan. Oh hell no, it, not going but, there. Yeah, it's just like yeah. So who was it?
They were in the afterlife or something this last season. This
God, they, I know. I'm they, just telling they, you, it's just like once upon
Hades,
a time.
Like one of those guys from the Law shows. From he was on Ally McBeal. I think he's the one that liked the neck waddle of the old women. I don't know the actor's name, but he was on anyway. Yeah, he's playing Hades this last season. It's her name, and no one would ever know her name, but her name is Lana or Lana Perilla or Perilla. I'm not sure how you say it.
Yeah.
She plays the evil queen in Once Upon a Time.
Oh, she plays Regina.
Yeah.
And who was she in Spin City?
I don't know, but I know she was in it. I didn't watch
okay,
Spin
great.
City, but I do know she was in it.
Great. Well, there you go. So,
but I really like her. I really like her in Once Upon a Time. So,
well, I liked her the first couple of seasons, but then
she's only 1 year older than me. She's 39. Wow. Well, I'm not. I'm 37 right now, but
yeah, but you'll be 38.
All right, I'll be 38 in August. Okay, so our last birthday, we also have two songs for it, and I will play the first one now.
Is this a television show?
It is a television show. Yes, Daniel, you are correct.
I have no idea. Okay, wait, do I have another? Do I have another?
Think of really tan people with glistening bodies walking on the beach.
Baywatch?
Yes, it is Baywatch.
Oh, okay, great. It's Baywatch.
All right. Here is our next clue.
I don't know how else I want to answer that question. Oh, I know this one. I know this one. This is Knight Rider.
It is Knight Rider, yes. Right.
So clearly, the first one was a theme to St. Elsewhere, and we're talking about the voice of Kit. No. Actually, no. This would be David Hasselhoff.
It is David Hasselhoff, although you didn't know the first television show, but yeah.
But it's David Hasselhoff.
This theme song, and I know I say this every time.
Here's the thing. Had you just not told me what it was themed to, had you just played Knight Rider, I would have gotten David Hasselhoff, though.
Yeah, probably. This theme song is probably my all-time favorite television theme song.
Wait. Let's address this. You just said probably so. I challenge you, Adam.
Is.
Other than the voice of Kit and David Hasselhoff, who else, like, who was memorable off of the show Knight Rider? Like, what, there?
No, I said theme song, not show.
No, but what I'm saying is, like, if you said, is like, by playing the theme of Knight Rider in the birthday segment, I would have guessed David Hasselhoff, because there's no one else on that show that is, like, what, the guy that, like, wasn't there a mechanic or something? And he had, like, a buddy that flew a helicopter or some shit?
There was a woman on there that was, like, I can't remember her name, but she was in a lot of shows during
She was, like, the scientist
period,
with no bra that was, like, in the jumpsuit working on the car with her tits out and stuff. Yeah, see? And wasn't there, like, an Oscar Goldman-like character? Like, I'm the founder, the Knight Industries
There
leader.
Was an old man. There was a token black guy.
He flew a helicopter or some shit, right? Or was that Magnum PI? I don't remember.
I don't remember that. But, speaking of...
Rebecca Holden. Rebecca Holden. Thank you, Mr. Mike.
She was the girl, the scientist with no body. Is that what we're saying?
Edward Mulhare. Well, I guess Mr. Mike is like a Knight Rider aficionado. Don't play Knight Rider trivia with Knight Rider. Knight Rider trivia with Mr. Mike. You will lose.
He may just also be able to Google very
quickly.
No, they don't.
They don't have Google in Canada. They've canceled it.
So I wonder if David Hasselhoff is still as much of a celebrity in the Germany as he once was.
I'm sure.
Anyway,
these things
he's 64 years old. He is 64 years old. And, you know, this is only tangentially related, but were you aware that this coming fall, Daniel Brewer, there is going to be a remake of the show MacGyver?
I was aware of that, and it looks god awful.
Well, it does. Did you ever watch The MacGyver?
I didn't. I tried to watch it once it hit Netflix, but it is so, you cannot get past his mullet. It's like, I couldn't like watch the pilot episode. It was so typical 80s, like the way it was edited and the way it, like.
I loved MacGyver.
I know, but I'm saying it was such a creature of its time. If you try to watch it now, it is so like, oh my God, this is such an 80s show. It's like, this is so, how did we ever, like, were we on all on cocaine back then, or just the people that
made
the show?
I'm a big fan of 80s television shows. I was in my early teens, not even my early teens. I was 8, 9, 10, 11, you know, in the 85 to 80 to 89 range. So anyway, so those are your birthdays, unless we have some Pride 48 birthdays.
I'm sure we have some Pride 48 birthdays, but you know, you don't really care about those.
I love the Pride 48 birthdays.
Let's see. On the Pride 48 website, we can say a very happy birthday to Johnny London and to Rancher. And to, that's it. Other people are the day after. So he's like, there you go. If you'd like to have your birthday listed on Pride 48, make sure you sign up for your Pride 48 account and click on the little button that says, yes, I'd like to have my birthday listed.
The new.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. It is time. News game. It's time for a news game. It's a news game. Adam is going to read me three news story headlines, and I, using my incredible sense of knowledge stuff, we'll figure out which one of the three news stories is a true news headline, because Adam is going to tell me two of them that are not real. Adam, what are the three headlines that I am going to be choosing from this evening?
Well, so we have a theme. We have a theme tonight. And, you know, I know this is not, but have you also noticed that recently there's been a resurgence of 70s game shows on the air?
There has, you know, just tonight. Then maybe that's why there's no one in the chat room tonight other than our loyal fans here, is because people are watching Match Game and $100,000 Pyramid.
I want to tell you, I love both of those shows. I mean, the remakes, I'm really enjoying them. And I think Rosie O'Donnell is a great contestant on both of those shows.
I have not watched the $100,000 Pyramid yet. I have watched several episodes of the Match Game, only because Titus Andromeda is, or what's his name in real life?
Andromedon.
What's his real name, though?
Oh, Titus something. Yeah. His real name is Titus.
He's hilarious. He is fucking hilarious. The one where he like didn't get picked to do the last thing, and he like pulled out his cell phone, was having an imaginary conversation on the phone while he is hilarious.
I'm enjoying all of those game shows.
Okay.
And
Burgess, thank
you.
Titus Burgess, thank you again, Mr. Mike.
Yes.
The Canada Google.
All right. So our theme tonight, Daniel, is Pokemon Go.
Ooh, Pokemon Go. Should I switch? Should I be playing the Pokemon theme song, Adam?
You can do whatever you want, but that is our theme this evening.
All right.
Is Pokemon Go.
Okay, got it.
All right, are you ready for these headlines?
I don't know. Let's see. Am I ready for these headlines? Yes, go ahead.
All right. Teen kills younger brother because he thought he deleted his Pokemon.
Okay. Teen kills younger brother because he thought he deleted Pokemon Go.
His Pokemon, right. Yeah. A Pokemon Go player in Oregon was stabbed and turned down medical treatment so that he could keep playing.
Only a flesh wound. Are you bleeding all over? No, I'm not. Go ahead. Got it.
And lastly, a major highway accident occurred after a man stopped in the middle of the highway to catch Pikachu.
All right. Now, in fairness, you know, it's like I have been, you know, reading some of the Pokemon news stories, and I do not recall, although I have seen some incredible pictures of cars being wrapped around trees and hitting, utility poles and people getting hit by cars and such like that. I've also read stories of people, setting up Pokestops inside dark alleys so that they can mug the people that come down there to the Pokestops. I've read all of those stories. But I have not yet seen one where a gentleman sliced him or was stabbed and refused medical treatment. So, Adam, I'm going to say that that is a fake news story. Is that a fake news story?
This is going to be a really short contest this evening because, Daniel, that is not a fake
news story. Oh, wow. That is... Oh, man. I am... So the one... Because the one that with the car... was he didn't stop and he was just using it in his, he didn't actually stop and get out, he was just driving.
You are incorrect, Daniel. The two false stories this evening are Teen Kills Younger Brother, yeah, because he thought he deleted, yeah, his Pokemon, and Major Highway, yeah, accident, I was saying that, after a man the stops,
but
in the
I'm saying
of the highway.
There was an accident on a highway, but the guy didn't get out of the car. I was saying that was there. I got that.
So the true
that.
Story, Daniel.
True story. Don't I have to play? Pokemon I have Go to play something. Don't I have to play something else now for the?
You're supposed to. Yeah.
This is so complicated. All right, here we go. We're playing the music. Here we go. Go ahead, Adam. Tell me the actual news story.
All right. So early Monday morning, this guy was walking near 19th and Filbert in Forest Grove to catch as many Pokemon as possible when he saw another man possibly playing the same game.
Mm-hmm.
He says, quote, "I saw him go by and asked if he was playing Pokemon Go. And he was like, what? I guess he wanted to battle because he came up at me with a knife," said Baker. Baker said he didn't go to the hospital because he still wanted to hunt for Pokemon and other things. Quote, "Right after I was stabbed, I continued my mission to Plaid Pantry for my mission for chips and beer," said Baker.
Wow.
A caller reported that a man who had come inside a local convenience store was suffering from a stab wound he received earlier while walking and playing Pokemon Go on his phone. Officers responded to the store where the 22-year-old man had come in to buy chips and beer, as well as find a Pokemon. The man was able to give a description of his attacker, who allegedly stabbed the victim as they passed each other near the 19th Avenue and Filbert Street. The victim refused medical treatment and continued his Pokemon hunt.
Wow.
The incident is still under investigation.
That is absolutely amazing, Adam, and thank you very much for providing us with the news game. Oh, shit! There's too many buttons. Excellent. It is the section of the show, Adam, where we read people's emails and we listen to their voicemails. And as we've gotten no emails, I guess we'll just listen to our voicemails. The voicemail comes into, I'm supposed to tell you this, because this came in on my own personal voicemail line. And it was from my nephews. And I said, instead of me calling you back, can I just play that on the show? And they were very concerned that I make sure that I say that this came in on my personal voicemail because they didn't say hi to you. So that's okay. They felt, you know, that you being a touchy person. Now you know Derek, you met Derek in Florida, so it's like
I've met both of them.
He was like, yeah, Adam would be really upset if we didn't say hi to him.
Well, so, I appreciate the thought.
So this is,
and it's the thought that counts.
Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. This is the voicemail coming in from my nephews here on the Doobies and Ten program.
Yeah. Hey Daniel, this is Scott and Derek.
Hi.
Hey, we were just talking, and we were talking about your podcast, and we thought that there needed to be some more stakes for the news article. And so Scott had the idea of
eating steak.
Yeah. What happens if you win? You get to play the Dora birthday song, and if you lose, then Adam gets to listen to the Dora song. I mean, he gets to listen to his actual favorite birthday intro song? I don't know. Something.
Huh.
Something, yeah. We were just chatting, and so
I see.
We thought that you might be interested in that. It might not.
They really suck at leaving voicemails, don't they?
So
you might answer, but, you know, or you might have a gentleman caller, so you might be busy.
Oh, this is why I didn't answer there. That's the, in their head. That's why I couldn't. That's why I wouldn't answer my phone, because I had a gentleman caller.
How do I hang up on? Oh, here's how I hang up on.
Thank you for your call, both of you, and thank you for acknowledging my existence. I appreciate it. Those aren't really that high a stakes.
What they're saying is that if we move the news game before the birthdays, then if I win the news game, then we get to play the Dora. Then I get to play the Dora birthday theme. If I lose the news game, then we have to play. Then I have to play the old birthday, the one that you like.
I think, you know, like if you lose, you go without sex for a week.
Why would me going out with sex affect your life
brownies
whatsoever?
No, if you lose.
I know, but how would that affect you? That's not a reward for you.
It's punishing you for losing.
But that's not a reward for you. In other words, the point is that you would get a reward, right? See, and then you would get that reward, and then if I won, then we would get to have the Dora.
Well, we can do that. We can do that. Or, you know, if you lose, I get Whataburger.
Have Whataburger anytime. That does not benefit the people on the podcast, Adam. It's like the people listening to our podcast, their lives are not made better and or worse by you eating Whataburger.
All right. Well, I think we should try that, but I also think that our fair listeners should write in and call in. You can write contact@dubiousintent.com. You can call some phone number that 229-234. My keyboard doesn't
7587.
7587. And you can leave us a voicemail.
Yes.
And let us know what you think should be the reward and the punishment for winning and or losing the contest. But I think starting next week, since we don't have that yet, we can rearrange it and then we can go ahead and try their idea out. I think that would be fine.
Okay, great.
So you have to remember to rearrange it, though.
Look at me moving the news story. Look, I moved that column in front of that column. Isn't that amazing? That's great. All right, well, that's our contact for the week. 3, 2, 1.
So just if we're keeping score here, everyone, Daniel lost this week. He did not get it correct.
Whatever. I did.
And that's all I want to say.
I lost. I did lose the news game. I feel horrible about it. It's going to look horrible on my resume. And I'll probably never get another job ever just because of that. There, are you happy? I hope you're happy.
I am happy. I am.
This has been an exceptionally weird show.
It has.
I don't know how I feel about that one way or the other, but that's fine. It was a thing that happened, and there you go, it happened. So and I have no idea how to get there.
We have to end the show, Daniel, because I'm still finishing up some unpacking.
Yeah.
Of
yeah. What are you having to unpack?
And Mittens is still in my box. So.
Dubious Intent was written, recorded, and distributed under Creative Commons. Give us a call on the voicemail line 229-234-7587 or send us an email, contact@dubiousintent.com. And remember, if you want to give us an award, all you have to do is just send us an award at contact@dubiousintent.com. Tell us the name of the award that we won. Give us, if you want it to be on our website, give us a little piece of artwork, like 250 by 250, no larger than that, piece of artwork to put on our website. Tell us where you want it to link to. And, you know, we will put it up on our website under the awards section. It'll be great.
And if you want a commemorative statue.
Right. It's only $300 if you want to buy a trophy to commemorate us winning your award. But that's not important. The point is that, no, for serious, like if you want to give us an award, then just make up an award and give it to us, because that is every bit as credible as the podcast awards is what I'm trying to say. Good night, Chet.
Good night, David.
This show is part of the Pride 48 Network. Find more shows over at pride48.com.